Been a kind of a rough week for me. You know, we had the funeral Tuesday, and to be honest, I was really disappointed in myself. I did the best I could, and I felt it wasn't near good enough. And you know, when you do that, you kind of end up putting yourself down. It's kind of downer. And so I kind of toyed with that most of the week. And we had home group Friday night. And, you know, when I share and when I teach, I usually always feel the anointing of the Lord. Those of you that have done that, you know what I'm saying. And Friday night, I felt nothing. Even when I prepared, I didn't feel that anointing. And of course, that didn't help me because I really felt very insecure at that point. So Saturday morning, I just cried out to the Lord because I couldn't even get a message for here. And I just said, fine, Lord, I'll just get up and say, I don't have anything for you. And that's just the way it was going to be. And then I just poured my heart. I said, God, did I sin? Did I do something wrong? Am I not faithful? Was I not faithful to you? Are you correcting me right now? And I was welcoming that, whatever it took. I said, God, whatever it takes, just do it. But Lord, I can't function without your leading and your anointing. Because I knew I can't prepare. But in that, I realized more and more that what I do is God. You know, if anyone likes anything that I share, it's God. Because Friday night I shared with me and it was bad. So I know that if anything is good, it's God. And so I thank God for humbling me the way he did. But then as I cried out to the Lord Saturday morning, God gave me a scripture. And then he began to work with me. And I immediately sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit again and his anointing. And I was just so thankful. You know, when a lot of times you don't realize what you got until you lose it. And that's where I was. I knew what I had, but I guess yet I didn't realize all that I had, that God was doing with me by his Holy Spirit. So anyway, it all changed and God started showing me things. And so I don't have to stand before you this morning and say, I don't have anything for you. So anyway, I pray that this will help you. I love the last song. I loved all the songs, but the last one, Purify My Heart, because that's what I had to do, is I had to purify my heart. I had to realize that you can't do anything without God, folks. And if you had the inclination to even come here, God was working with you and leading you. And that's the reason why you're here. You could be in a ditch somewhere in Petoskey, right? But God brought you here. So be thankful. And as the song was that we sang, we need to just purify our hearts and give it all to the Lord. Folks, sometimes we don't realize how great God is in our lives and all that he wants to do. We just need to learn how to surrender. Will you pray with me before we start? Father, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask that you would just speak through me to your people. Lord, that you would help us to purify our hearts, to trust you, and to allow you to just take control. Father, you're so good. And if we'd learn how to do that, Lord, it would save us a lot of problems, a lot of heartache. So, Lord, draw us this morning. Purify our hearts and let us know that you are God and that you care so much for us. Bless your word this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me give you a scripture here that the Lord gave me and started to work with me on. It's Psalms 51, verse 17. Psalms 51, verse 17. My only sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, broken with sorrow for sin, thoroughly penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise. And you know, as I was thinking in the state that I was in, I was going to have Charlene pray for me because I didn't know what was wrong with me. And I thought, I think I've got a broken spirit. I've got a broken spirit, I believed. And I was going to have her pray, and then I did, and that was on Friday. But I should have done that because it would have been a lot easier for me probably and a lot quicker recovery. But I don't know. I don't know if I really had a broken spirit before. Has any of you ever had the broken spirit that I'm talking about? It's like, wow, it's devastating. It takes everything out of you. You don't want to do anything. You think yourself is worthless. I can't accomplish anything. You know, and I know I've had it before, maybe not to this extent, but I get to the point, well, God doesn't love me, so I don't care. And, you know, you just, it snowballs, it gets worse. Rolling down a hill, it just gets bigger. And I didn't go there this time with the negativity. It's just that my spirit was so broken and I felt so separated from God that I just cried out. I said, God, just do what you want to do. I can't live like this. I've got to have my spirit refreshed and healed and whole again. And so God did that. So let me explain what a contrite heart is. I looked that up for us, and a contrite heart refers to a state of deep remorse and humility before God, acknowledging one's sins and shortcomings. The term is derived from the Hebrew word deka, which means to be crushed or broken. This concept is significant in biblical teachings, emphasizing the importance of repentance and a sincere desire for forgiveness. So that's what a contrite heart is. So this verse highlights that God values humility and sincere repentance even over all of their realistic offerings. It emphasizes that genuine sorrow for sin and a heartfelt desire to change are what truly pleases God. So, folks, this is needed. It's needed at times to have that contrite heart. And you realize, again, like I said before, how precious God really is in your life. You know, a lot of people go to church and they just do it because that's the good thing to do. It's the right thing to do. We've always done it, so that's what we do. But a lot of people miss that touch from God. As they sing the worship songs and visit with people, hear the message, when they're prayed for, a lot of people don't sense and feel that anointing, that presence, that love that God has for each of us. And that's so sad. You just go through the motions and there's nothing there. Take it or leave it, you know? I want God's presence. I know that when I was at, we were at the funeral, I didn't feel God's presence. I was there, I think, turns out, I think was mainly for the wife. I talked to Judy, that was her daughter's, the wife that we're talking about, who lost her husband, was Karen. And her mother is a strong Christian part of our group. And she, when she was a kid growing up, I knew that Judy would have taken her to church. So I asked Judy prior to that, or Judy told me, she says, but she doesn't go to church. Karen doesn't go to church. And I'm like, oh, great. So when they came to the house, we were talking about it. And I said, have you ever gone to church before? And she says, well, yeah. I said, really? Okay, what churches did you go to? And she named a couple, and one was Harbor Light. I'm like, you went to Harbor Light? Oh, yeah. But she says, when we got married, church ended. And so she never said, we've never been since. So the family that she married into weren't God-fearing people. Good people, but they were never raised in church, and therefore they never took their children to church, as far as I know. And that's just how they were. But at the funeral, Karen came in later. I'm visiting, trying to get to know who's who. Nobody introduces themselves. You know how that is. You know, you're just there and don't know anybody. And so I'm watching how they set up. It's like, that must be the father and that some sort of relative and whatnot. And then I would go and talk to them, and then they would tell me. And so I was doing that. And Karen came in, and she looked to me like she was about ready to have a nervous breakdown. You know how tense it is anyway, how hard it is, you've got the loss, and she just felt all alone. And I could see her just fighting it. And so right away, I broke away, and I went and put my eyes, said, I want to pray for you. She's okay. Of course, this is a girl that hadn't been to church in years. And so I prayed for God to bless her and strengthen her. Give her a sound mind. Give her the peace that passes all understanding. Let her know you're present, you're with her. And you're going to see her through all of this. Because you're going to give her strength. And as soon as I was done praying, some other girls came up and they were talking, and Karen made, I think she made a joke because she started laughing and the others started to laugh. And I'm like, wow, it was like being in a dark room and hitting a light switch. How God moved in her life and touched her so strongly. So I was so appreciative that I was there and at least to do that for her. And see, God's faithful, always. And we've just got to learn to really humble ourselves and walk with that contrite heart and spirit for the Lord. So to make this sacrifice to God means approaching him with a humble attitude, acknowledging our sins, and sincerely seeking his forgiveness and transformation. It involves setting aside pride. I have a problem with pride a lot. My grandson has a lot of that problem too. I talked to him on the phone and he just got back from Brazil. And he said, well, I think I have the most out of our group of those who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, I think I probably have the most healings in our group. And I'm just thinking, Dakota, you are so much like me. That pride is going to get you, buddy. And so there's times I have to let him go because I don't want him to think, well, every time I talk to you, you put me down or you do this, say that. So you know what I mean? You all know what I mean because you talk to your kids, right? And so I had to let it go, but I just got to pray for him. I'm praying for a contrite heart. Lord, not necessarily break in the spirit, but a contrite heart will be great. And so we'll see what happens later because somebody will talk to him. I love God for that because he hates pride. And when you get it, if you don't listen right away and deal with it, he will cause a situation that will humble you. And it's not pretty sometimes. So anyway, stay humble, folks. But anyway, some examples of this, it's kind of like David. Remember when David, Bathsheba, and the sin that they caused, and he killed her husband because she'd gotten pregnant, and all kinds of things were going on, and a prophet came to him and talked to him about a rich man who had everything in flocks. But this one poor guy had a young ewe that he loved and very much and who was very precious to him. And this rich man took his ewe. And it went on of all that he did. And David said, who is he? Who is he that I might get a hold of him? He was going to kill him, whoever it was, because it upset him. Isn't that like a lot of us sometimes, how we do things not realizing maybe the hurt or the pain or the situation that it might cause someone else because we didn't think? And the prophet said to David, says, you're the man. You're the one. What a humbling thing that would be. And so David was the one that wrote Psalms 51. Read it sometime. See all the things that David wrote in there. He was broken with sorrow for sin. In fact, he says, my only sincere acceptable to God is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And he also wrote in verse 10 and 11, he says, create in me, O Lord, a clean heart. Remember we sang, purify my heart? He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And he said again in verse 11, he says, Lord, don't leave me. Don't leave me. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And see, that was my biggest issue. God, don't leave me and don't take your Holy Spirit. Deal with me, punish me, whatever it takes. You do it. And so David understood that. But see, David sinned. How about the prodigal son that went off and did his own thing? A lot of us, we do that as well, recorded in Luke 15. And then you get to Peter. I looked at Peter's life, and you know, as I read in there, I always kind of see myself as a Peter. You know, you always have your foot in your mouth, you know, and it seems like you always do about the wrong thing, but you're quick to respond. You know, I don't like waiting. I'm patient to a point. And it doesn't take long for my patience to be used up. So my cup does not run over with patience. But anyway, I kind of see myself as a Peter sometimes. His faults, okay? His faults. And so Jesus made the statement. He said, soon I'm going to be betrayed. And he says, all of you are going to leave. You're all going to leave me. Peter said, I won't, Lord. Jesus said to him, said, oh, really? He said, before the rooster crows, you're going to have denied me three times. See, Peter didn't sin. He didn't betray. But out of weakness, he failed Jesus. And it says that after he had done that, the rooster crowed, he realized it, and he went out. It says he wept bitterly. And see, folks, that's where I was. That's where I was with my failure or my thought of failing. And so the Lord had to revive me, as he did Peter. You know, Peter's attitude was this. You know, Jesus had already been crucified. He rose from the dead. He'd appeared to the disciples. And even Thomas, who denied, oh, unless I see, and put my finger in the holes in his hand and my hand in his side, said, I won't believe. Well, Jesus appeared. And he dealt with Thomas. Shortly after that, Peter's in the house with the group, and he says, see his attitude, because he's got a crushed spirit. He's hurt. He's failed the Lord. And that's the worst thing that he had ever thought he could ever do, because he loved Jesus so much. But he had failed. And now he's seen himself as worthless. How dare. I'm not good for anything. And so what did he do? You know, you kind of get an attitude. I've been there several times. Kind of get an attitude. Peter said, I'm going fishing. And the other said, well, I guess we could go too. So they all went fishing. Fished all night and caught nothing. You're so miserable. You know what I mean? I love fishing, but I've gone fishing before with a bad attitude, and I really didn't have a good time. And I didn't catch anything either. But here they were, fished all night. They were all tired, aggravated. Why are we doing this? Peter, what's your deal? You know? And then John seen Jesus at the shore in the morning. And the Lord said, put your nets on the other side. And they did. And then they caught so many fish they couldn't even pull their net in. And then John said it, I believe it was John, it says, one of those that loved Jesus, that would be John. He says, it's the Lord. Peter grabbed his coat, put it on, jumped in the lake then, because they were about 100 yards out, it says. So Peter swam to the shore, and the rest of them got in their little dinghy and came in. Jesus had breakfast ready for him. And Jesus said, bring some of your fish here. So what happened? Peter went and grabbed the net himself and drug it up on the beach. So you kind of do that. Well, I'm good for nothing else, so I might as well do that. Everybody else is going to, you know, walk with God, and God's going to use them. He's not going to use me because of my failure. So he's over there doing all the heavy work, and it would have killed him before he would have given up trying to drag that net in. Said it had like 158 fish on it. So they ate breakfast. Jesus didn't say anything to them. Then later, Jesus talked to him and says, Peter, said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter says, yes, Lord, I do. Said, feed my lambs. See, God, Jesus was putting him back into office. He was letting him know that, Peter, I haven't thrown you away. I haven't discarded you. I love you. You have much worth to me. See, there's a lot of us here that we just go to church, we go along with everything. We're good, you know, good people. We're kind of happy where we're at, but we don't feel like God can really use us like somebody else. And see, that's not true. And that's why Jesus spoke to Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me? See, that's the thing. Do you love the Lord? Do you want to serve him? Do you want to be used by the Lord? Peter again says, yes, Lord, I do love you. Feed my lambs. And then even a third time he asked him, Peter's saying, Lord, you know everything. Why are you asking me again? See, Peter had denied three times, and I believe Jesus was trying to deal with each one of those for Peter. And he placed him in the office, showing him, Peter, I'm not done with you. You can still be used. I love you. I care for you. See, God calls us, and he said, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. My yoke is easy, and what I'll call you to and set you to, you'll be able to do it because I'll do it through you as you allow me to do that. I love what Peter said too as he, let's see, did I even put it in? Yeah, 1 Peter 5:6-9 says this. That's 1 Peter 5:6-9. Says, therefore, Peter's saying, humble yourself. Peter's talking from experience. He had that crushed spirit and that contrite heart. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Folks, we just need to learn to humble ourselves. I'm so glad that God did what he did for me last week. I want to tell you, it hurt. I felt abandoned. I felt worthless. I didn't know if I was even going to survive this. I think I'd rather had something else happen to me other than that. I want to tell you, because that's your very soul. And so God dealt with me and he drew me. And then I went and renewed myself, and he renewed himself to me as I did humble myself. And then God exalted me, placed it back on me, and I could tell when it happened. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. So, folks, I'm telling you, it's all God. He loves you. He can use you if you'll let him. It's like Chris making the decision. He's thinking, I'll try, but I don't know if I can do it on my own. And you can't. That's a good answer, Chris. You can't do it on your own. You've got to trust God and rely on his anointing through you. I love it as Jesus said, Paul, when you're weak, he says, really, that's when I'm strong in you. So when you feel you can't do it or you're not good enough, if you surrender to God, that's when he can use you. And he says, good, I'm glad you're that way, because you realize you can't do it in the flesh. You see, our best is never enough. It's never good enough. But when we surrender what little we do have to the Lord in humility and in obedience, God says, now I can use you. Now I can do great things through you. And you'll touch a lot of lives then. Amen. Folks, I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you in the Lord that God is going to use you. He's going to use this church. I don't know how, but I just know he's going to do that. Or I don't believe he would have sent me here. So just let go and let God. Let him humble you. Go to him and say, God, I don't understand. But Lord, I trust you. Do what you need to do in me. Use me to your glory. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, how you deal with us and how you love us. You've not quit on any of us. Maybe some of us have quit on you. But Lord, even that you can change. May we humble ourselves to you and allow you to work in our lives. So Lord, we just thank you. Do what you need to do. And we'll give you thanks and praise in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let me speak God's blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. God bless you. Amen.